This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the One Was Had a Dream podcast, the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast and still the only unofficial AFC Wimbledon podcast on the market, coming at you on all podcast providers. We are going to be speaking, me and Danny, it's just me and Danny tonight, and we are going to be speaking about the game against them from Tuesday night. We're going to move on and we'll discuss the club mentality. Is it time for a change regarding how we look at the game and how we look at how our mentality going forward with games like Sutton, a game against MK. We'll give a squad update and any transfer rumours or where we think we might need to strengthen in January, as it is still January transfer window. And then we'll preview a massive game coming up on Saturday now against Mansfield. But let me introduce Danny Baker. Danny, how are we? We good?
I'm right, mate. All things considered. Obviously, had a bit of a car crash game the other day. But apart from that, yeah, absolutely tickety-boo. Been really into I don't know if you've watched much TV. Are you big on TV?
I think I know what you're going to say, but I don't watch it. And I said to you before, I don't watch much. I've watched a few series and I watched YouTube mainly. That's about it.
Well, there's two things at the moment I can't stop watching. 24 hours in police custody. Some of the defending from yesterday might be on there. I always look for you as well. You haven't popped up yet.
I was on there once, yeah.
Of course you have.
No, I'm joking.
The other thing is The Traitors. Now, have you heard of this?
I've heard of it, but I haven't watched it.
So basically, in a nutshell, they put 24 people, I think it is, in a big house, and it's like a murder mystery, right? So Claudia Winkleman acts like a bit of a mad woman, and basically she selects at random three people who are basically killers, and they're going to kill people in the house. And each day, they have to, as a group, decide one person that they think is a traitor. So the idea is each day they do tasks, they get money. If there is a traitor at the end, when they do the final, where we think we're all faithful, if you like, if there's one traitor, he takes or she takes the whole lot.
Yeah.
If there's no traitors, they split it. Yeah. So it's all about basically doing tasks, double jabbing.
A lion.
Etc. Basically lying. My question was, who are the ultimate Don's faithfuls and who are the ultimate Don's traitors? Because faithfuls, right? I've got people like Robbo. I've got people like Neil Ardley, I thought was a real proper faithful, like a Don's through and through. I've got people like Nightingale, I thought was a real, like, you know, he's Wimbledon through and through. You can cut him and he's a Don's bloke. It's much more fun when you try and get, obviously, the traitors. Who would you say are the traitors of the Don's?
I think there's a big one that most people would say, Wimbledon fans would say, and I'm not 100% sure of the history behind it, but Terry Phelan.
My dad said this, Terry Phelan and Keith Curl.
Yeah,
because they both went and they basically said, look at me, I'm
bigger than
to a bigger club. Sam Haman?
Oh, massive, yeah.
He's got to be right up there, obviously with
Charlie Coppell.
Charlie Coppell.
Yeah,
Ron Nodes.
Not really, not Wimbledon traitor.
Going into then the AFC era, are there any players or staff who basically came in and you felt either left under a cloud or backstabbed us a bit, do you think?
See,
I've got one,
but it's going to be very controversial, and I absolutely love the geezer.
Right.
He's probably
turned
it back around.
Go on, then.
Way left, Danny Kedwell.
Oh, go on. You're going to have to explain yourself.
Well, he was staying with Wimbledon. He told everyone, I'm staying, and then Gillingham come for off, and then he was off, boom, and then he was signed for Gillingham. And I remember watching the game, the first game he played against us, there was loads of people giving him loads of stick because I think he told everyone that he was staying. I love him. My boy's named after him. So, but I'm just thinking about, how they left kind of thing.
And the kind of player that they were and the kind of... So, for me, modern day, I've got three who I think you could possibly put into the kind of traitor, which is like...
A couple of lone ones.
Go on in. Who have you got?
Well, Henry Lawrence and Tennai Watson. They're the ultimate traitors.
They obviously went for Eric Store. I've got Ollie Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like, although he left for greed. He didn't leave and he kind of left us in...
The thing about football I find hard to... Is greed, when people say greed?
Well, it is though, isn't it?
Well, it's not financial
benefit.
It's not like he's a Premiership footballer leaving Leicester to go to Man City for... He left Leeds for greed because he went to Man City and never played. But Palmer is a League Two footballer at best.
Yeah.
And they went for between 5 and 10 grand a week when we were playing.
Said that he wanted to stay, he then bolted.
Down in tools is never going to be a good thing, which he did.
And I felt he did that a little
Tom Elliott did that as well, which was a bit disappointing.
I thought Kwezi Appiah.
See, I don't mind Kwezi so much.
I know you don't, but I found him quite irritating. Any opportunity to kind of get out of stuff, he was like... Oh,
the worst one with Kwezi is when he was injured, but then he turned up at Ghana, didn't he? Or, do you remember? I think he got called up and he still went out there, but he was injured.
I had three and I've only got two. Who was the other one I had? I had Kwezi Appiah. It'll come to. I bet it'll come to me later. I had Kwezi Appiah.
Is it Appiah or Appiah?
I mean, I couldn't be Appiah either way. Hey, the lads. Yeah. But I was just interested as to who I felt was like a proper, like I thought Akinfenwa at the end on the fact of the whole, I'm going to score a penalty and I'm going to make it all about me.
I actually think that
We dropped the ball there, by the way. But
no, I actually also think that we're too nice to Akinfenwa as a fan because he was only with us, two seasons? Because he was like this cult beast mode kind of thing across football, not just at Wimbledon. And also, like, he was on the official podcast months ago because that was meant to come out every 2 weeks, but it was about 6 weeks ago it came out.
Yeah.
Akinfenwa... I don't know. They didn't pull him up on the penalty incident with Callum Kennedy, and that kind of put a dampener on him for me, the way he did that, especially with regards to Callum Kennedy and the story of why he was going to take a penalty. Do you know what I mean? With his dad's passing and stuff like that. And, yeah, I thought that was a bit disrespectful. And then after the game, I get it, you're a free agent, but could have done it a bit better. It's all about him when it was actually about Wimbledon winning the playoffs. But
I think that was the thing for me. I feel like we've been quite fortunate that a lot of people kind of buy into, and again, we'll come on to the whole charade, if you like. But no, if you haven't seen it, you should definitely watch it. Traitors is very apt link into, let's not beat around it, let's go straight in. So it's all kicking off at the Finches. I mean, even that one's got the ump.
I don't know where my wife is. My wife's meant to be looking after him.
Well, what we'll do then, we'll kind of drift into MK and we'll obviously talk a little bit about the slightly odd game. The whole thing was a bit of a odd one, really. I kind of got very, very mixed emotions about it, but to say I was a bit disappointed was a bit of an understatement. But go on, we were talking earlier, you were pretty raging. Go on, how are you feeling now?
I'm glad we didn't do the podcast first thing this morning or last. Someone had said to me last night, a couple of my mates said, why don't you do a debrief? And I was like, no, you're okay, thanks. I was fuming. Joe sent us over the thing saying, you know, where we put out your thoughts in the comments with
Yeah.
regards to the score and stuff. And I said, look, I'm not pointing it out tonight. I said, one,
I was looking for it last night. I didn't see it.
I couldn't be asked with all them putting their comments in and then having to block. Because I don't speak to, I don't engage with them at
Yeah.
all, any of their fans, because I have no reason to. They're just wind-up merchants.
Yeah.
Most of them have second teams, and we'll come on to that later on when we talk about mentality. But as a game goes on, we're, what, 20 minutes in and we're 2-0? When did we go 3-0 down? I can't remember.
3-0, 20 minutes.
20 minutes, we're 3-0 down. I nearly smashed up my whole living room. Do you know what I mean? I paid 20 quid for the game, one for me on my miscount, and then my boy, I paid for him to watch it as well because he was, like, buzzing for it. And I don't know what happens when we go there, Danny, and we just absolutely shit the bed every single time. We'll talk about the mentality of the club later, but we absolutely, yeah, it's just they're up for it, we're not, and we just looked, it was just disappointing. I thought we lined up wrong. I think Jackson made a mistake with the lineup, with the formation.
Go on. What do you mean?
Well, they went looked like 3-4-3, 3-5-2. So we're always going to get overrun in midfield. I feel sorry for Ball because everyone's been tipping him to get minutes and stuff, and I thought he was just anonymous in the whole game. It's not his position, though. It worked at Wrexham. It weren't going to work on that massive pitch. They've got a massive pitch. They put their wingers out, their wing-backs out wide and everything, and I just don't think we got at Lewington enough. He's a massive, fat mug that you just do with pace, and I just think we should have started with maybe Gordon on the wing. Davison didn't do anything, but then he's one up front on his own, and they just pass for passing's sake, and they just pass round us. And I was disappointed in the whole squad. Yeah, I just thought the way we played was just horrendous. But
it's difficult because I don't really buy the conversation really about they were up for it, we weren't, in terms of their attitude. I just feel like if you can see the go early, you're always a little bit under the cosh. And I thought they were a good side. I think they are a good side. I think they're probably close to being automatic ones for me. I think you've got a Wrexham team who are solid. I think you've got Wrexham and Stockport, who I think may well run away with things. I think you've got obviously MK and will. I think they'll catch Mansfield, by the way. I think they'll kind of start bringing them in. But the moment we went one down, we really did lose the plot. And I felt like we really lost our nerve in all areas, really. And like I said, the first goal was, you know, disappointing, but fine. The second goal was really, really, really poor. The third goal was even equally just really daft. Just watching it back, I was like, oh, really? So many things happened, though, didn't they? Like Biller was so bad.
So
like,
bad.
I said this today, the guys at work, and they were like, oh, what happened? I was like, if I'm really honest, I've been watching Wimbledon and I've been watching football as a whole since I was 4, 5, 6. And we've seen some people have a stinker, but my God, that was a stinker. But, and again, I'm with you. Was it because he was poor, or was it because the way that we set up, but they just murdered us down the right, all our right, constantly, the whole game, we were butchered down that right. The first goal, we were poor. Biller was constantly out of position. And I don't know whether that's Jackson getting it wrong, them getting it right, or Biller just was like, this is my stinker. But boy, did he have a stinker yesterday.
But my big problem with it, Dan, is you can get away with Biller having one, like, a stinker. But I'm looking through the whole squad yesterday, and I can pick maybe Little that played okay. People were saying Sasu did all right. I thought he was horrendous first 20 minutes. Obviously, no one come out with their head held high on that first 20 minutes. But for me, every single player at it, Bass was, I thought, was, he made some great saves in the second half. But do you know what I mean? Some of the goals you could say, well, we could do better with. I thought Johnson, before he went off injured, he was poor. I thought Reeves was really poor. And I was really disappointed with him as a captain as well as a player. Do you know what I mean? Rubbing their heads when they're like bending down and looking injured. He's going, you're okay, mate, kind of thing. When he's old school as well, where someone has been with us before, you've got to learn not to do that stuff against them. Do you know what I mean? And then the red cards are absolutely horrendous. The first one's a guaranteed red card.
Definitely.
Second one, people said Paul Callum-Bye, he's a bit unlucky, but he gets, the defending is awful and he gets on the wrong side.
I think that's the thing I said today when I showed the guy at work he's a Chipsy assistant manager, and he was like, the problem is the minute you get caught the wrong side, that's you really. And he looked really clumsy. He looked a little bit overweight, really. I thought he just looked quite either overweight or really muscly, and he kind of felt quite rigid and quite stuck in his way. I don't necessarily agree in terms of just being Reeves. I didn't think Curry was particularly poor.
No, okay. It weren't just Reeves. I'm saying, I can't see anyone else having a great night.
What I mean is, I thought that Little was okay. I thought Curry was okay. I don't think he was a shocker. I thought Lewis was all right. Again, I don't think he was an absolute shocker. And I'm slightly away from you. I thought Sasu, up until going off, was probably our best player. I thought at least he got it and had a go. I thought the rest of them were a little bit below par. But again, I have questions. I felt half time, I'm looking at my dad, I'm like, we've got to change it. Billa's got to come off. I said to my dad, Billa has to come off for Ogundeyi because Billa's had an absolute beast. Right. He needs to go off. I said to dad about the new lad. I said, it's 3-0. We look terrible. Take Davison off, which was the right move. Davison off, the other lad on, I thought was bang on right. Well, Davison looked terrible. And I didn't necessarily disagree too much with Ball and Pell. Just frustrated because I felt a 3-1, even though, which by the way, we talk about us, that was horrible. That goal that Little scored, that was minging. I just felt up to the red card of Billa, I felt, although I thought we were probably out of it, we kind of bounced a little bit. And I thought, again, Tilly takes a chance in the first half, right at the end.
Wait, what a sitter.
I mean, who knows? But
where's James Tilly gone, Dan? Where has he gone? Where's the first 15 games of James Tilly gone? Because that chance yesterday, he takes that first 10 games.
And the problem is, obviously, is he was actually quite good in the game against Oxford. He was actually quite decent, scored a couple goals, and he was.
That's Oxford in a B-team cup. Yeah,
but what I mean is, he looked to be decent. I thought he was decent at Wrexham. I thought he played all right. I guess the overarching thing is he is a League Two footballer, and he's going to come in and out of it and drift in and out. And I honestly just felt that yesterday, I felt it was a real weird combination of tactically being. I honestly felt before the game we would struggle because without Ali, I always feel like, and I know everyone, some people have a love in with Davison and that, oh, he's not a bad. I honestly don't rate the bloke. I'm going to stand steadfast on it. I think he runs hard. I like him as a person, as a bloke. I think he's better without the ball. I think he'll run to close people down. But to score goals, he lacks that X factor with skill, with shooting, with movement, with pace, with aerial ability. I just think he's always... Joe Lewis, he wouldn't get a sniff against Joe Lewis. And he wouldn't get a sniff against Johnson. And he is exactly a fourth striker at a club.
I agree, and I've seen a couple of, as I said, I'm glad we didn't record last night or after the game. I'm glad we didn't record first thing in the morning. I'm glad I've had a day to kind of read Twitter and calm down a lot because there's people making sense. What's his name? Don's numbers by, what's his name? I forget his name now.
Don's by numbers.
That's the one, yeah. He said you've got to look at the form table. Wrexham are first, I think. Milton Keynes are second in the form table, beating team. I know they lost to Milton Keynes, lost to Morecambe. But do you know what I mean? They play on a massive pitch. We're also missing Bugle and Ali massively as well. Do you know what I mean? In that game yesterday, we could have done with both of them because Ali would have put them under pressure the way they tried to pass out the back, thinking they're Brazil when they're not. We made them look like Brazil first 30 minutes, but that goal we scored with Ali in that team and Bugle wouldn't have been a get roughed up. So we're missing both of them in that game, which we knew we would. I just think... I'm not a big fan of Pell, and I know when he came on, I didn't think he does much. I think he cares more about now shithousery and trying to win free kicks and winning the ball. But is that a game? It's harsh on Ball to take him out, but would that have been a better... For me, it would have been better starting Gordon instead of Sasu, and it would have been better starting Pell instead of Ball, because you know you're going to get... They're going to flood the midfield, and Ball was just lost behind Davison, I think. And Davison, he didn't do the running that we normally see with him, as you said, off the ball yesterday. I didn't think he was good at all, and no wonder he was hooked at 45 minutes.
Well, I think it was a combination of a number of guys decided that was the day to to have their have a really bad game.
I honestly feel,
and again, why I'm not absolutely toys out of the pram is we were terrible against Sutton. I know the score was worse with them. I felt the performance against Sutton at home, the 1-0 at Boxing Day, was worse than that. And the fact that without a number of key players, I felt frustrated to play them at that time. I still, in my heart of hearts, don't feel like we should be playing, if I'm honest. I think it's really rough on teams in League Two to try and compete with smaller squads. And you take arguably two of our most impactful players and they just go. I find that really difficult, quite hard to swallow, actually, in terms of that. But I also felt that Jackson tactically got it really wrong, or they were excellent and they got it right. As I said, I'm going to give full credit to them. I thought they were good. I think they're a good side. I think they're going to be a team that is decent. But we just got so much wrong. And there were so many... The ramifications of that conversation is horrendous, with not just points, not just them, but personnel as well now. We're in a real sticky situation regarding the reaction to this. We'll talk later about Mansfield, but just a really sour, frustrating game that is a bit Groundhog Day when we go and
the thing for me now, Danny, is ain't even about now. I know people will say it is because we've got games coming up, but for me, the reaction has to be in 6 weeks' time when we play them again and we play them at our place and we don't play like that, really. I was so embarrassed watching that game yesterday, I just thought we were poor all across the park. I know you said Curry was okay, Lewis was okay, but that's okay. You're going up there, you want
to. Yeah, I agree.
Do you know what I mean? They should be giving that 10 out of 10s like they did.
And
to
I
be
think,
fair.
I think,
look at
the
young kid, yeah. Dean. I was looking at him and I don't want to be looking at Milton Kingsbury going, I wish I had that kid in our team. Do you know what I mean? The passion he showed when we had a red card. We never do that. We have to be nice. We have to be nice, Wimbledon. Fuck that. People said earlier about Wimbledon FC, like, why we have to go away from this Wimbledon FC all the time. It's like AFC Wimbledon is a brand new team. Do you know what I mean? We are the continuation of Wimbledon FC. There's people like myself who went to Wimbledon and we would never watch the team like that. And I know football's different now. I said it yesterday. Someone said, Vinnie Jones wouldn't have had this. Vinnie Jones would have been red carded after about 2 minutes of smacking Dean Lewington. So you have to do things differently. And we didn't get near them. We didn't lay a glove on them. We didn't touch them. Do you know what I mean? It's all too friendly all the time. And it really pisses me off when we play. And it ain't just them. It's Sutton as well. And we'll come on to mentality, actually. I'm going to keep talking about that. And it do my head in. We'll go on to that later. But I just thought when the game yesterday, I just thought Jackson got it wrong. His interview weren't too bad after, to be fair. There's positive stuff. I know he's trying to put a positive swing on it because he said second half, you have... To be fair, after going 3-0 down in 30 minutes, getting two red cards, we could have capitulated. That could have been 6 or 7. So, do you know what I mean? So, maybe
I was
half
literally
right,
asked,
but
is there any positive to take?
Well, the fact that we didn't, after going down to 9 men, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, we didn't concede any more. Do you know what I mean? We've got to take small positives out of anything. But
by the way, we've been talking, I thought the lad who came on in the second half did all right.
Gordon, I liked him.
Mm. I think he worked hard again. He had very, very little to play with.
He had pace to burn, and I thought he got behind him a couple of times. He had a couple of good touches, and I liked what I saw. I'd have him up front with Davison next time, but if Davison gets near it, but we don't know if he'll start again because I thought he was horrendous yesterday. Josh Davison needs to do so much better if you're going to play for Wimbledon again, mate.
Well, like I said, I think it's so easy to get. I think it's one of those things where... It's hard because we've already done the, it's a bad day at the office. But we're now in a bit of a dip. I think it's 1 win in 9 away. The clean sheets have kind of evaporated a little bit. So we are in a little bit of a downward turn, if you like. And obviously without Ali, we any team that has got the best player in the country or the best player in the league is going to miss those kind of players. So it is just a little bit frustrating that we had a right result with Crawley being off, and now all of a sudden these two stuff. I don't know. I don't get as wrapped up as everyone else about them and about the whole game and stuff. And we'll talk about mentality and that after. I'm more frustrated at the fact of we haven't turned up again, and we've been really poor. and the players that I thought was going to drag us out, thought Reeves was going to grab the game by the scruff of the neck. He was pretty absent. And everywhere we went, we just seemed to get outnumbered and outplayed and outfought and outrun. And that was, regardless of who we're playing, I thought that was a shame.
We've always said, you get beat by the better team, we can kind of live with it.
Hey, beat round up, no problem.
But the fact that we were outfought, we're Wimbledon FC, we're AFC Wimbledon, we're Wimbledon, and we're getting outfought by the team that we shouldn't be getting outfought by. It's like Sutton, same. And again, there's no derby or rivalry with them, but it's a big Boxing Day clash and we get turned over again. It's just, it's this time of year again. And is this now the fall that we, most fans expect now in January, because it's happening so often. And I think Jackson has a massive task on his hand now to turn it round. And we asked last week regarding Jackson's contract, should it be renewed? We were saying yes, possibly. There's now questions over him now regarding last night, because if you can't get us up playing for that game, you can't, and you just, like, that was just set up completely wrong, in my opinion. And you've got to stop treating the players as friends. Do you know what I mean? We had other players who could have come in. Do you know what I mean? Like, now we'll talk about Mansfield later, but I don't want to see Lee Brown near this side. But I can see him picking him. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know who else we could pick, really. We got Sutcliffe, but we'll talk about that later. Anyway, we'll move on. When we come back, we'll talk about the mentality of Wimbledon and should we change how we look at some of these games.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing the Wimbledon mentality. Is it time? I've just muted myself by mistake.
Oh, that's fantastic, Steve.
Mate, I'm having a nightmare tonight. Right, yeah. Is it time for a sea change?
Hey, that's technically two words, potentially, but yeah.
Is it time we change our mentality, the way we look at games? Like, as I said, I know people are not going to like what I say here, and I don't really like saying it myself, but unfortunately, I've said this before, that MK is not a rivalry. It's not a derby. It's definitely not a derby anyway. It's not a rivalry. But I actually think about today and after the loss yesterday and getting smashed and how annoyed I was, how fuming I was watching the game, how upset I was just seeing them celebrate, how angry I was seeing them. Like, do you know what I mean? I wanted to just pile through that stand, just windmilling. And whoever I hit from MK, it wouldn't matter. I'd get battered, but I'd take a few with me. But how angry I got. It is actually a rivalry. It is a rivalry because it does. I know some people say they don't care, they turn it off, and this mentality of we've already won. I get it. We have already won. We have Plough Lane, fantastic. We've got a ground in Wimbledon. We've got a community stadium. We've got a community club. We've got fantastic youth team coaches, Michael Hamilton, people like that. Rob Toovey was on the bench yesterday, coming through our ranks. Kids like Billa. I know he had a mayor, but Billa Curry, right? We're doing things right. We've won that way, but we can't keep going on that road. We can't, because at the end of the day, there's 3 points to play for. I want to beat them, get them 3 points, get in the playoffs. Can you imagine if that was a playoff final and we lost to them? It's devastating. Semi-final. Do you know what I mean? And all their fans are on, and I hate it because you go on Twitter or social media. As I said, I don't talk to them. I block them because you ain't going to get any sense from them. They're the biggest wind-up club in the country. They love winding people up. They love the fact that they're called franchise. They're never going to get rid of Dons because they know it winds up the football community and it winds up everyone. Do you know what I mean? And they're going to do that. They're going to try and get bites out of us, and they do. And I was raging yesterday watching the game, and I just thought, seeing people going, it don't matter if we lose 10-0. It does matter if we lose 10-0. It really does nowadays. Don't get me wrong, I'd rather, if they go up, good, go up, and we stay in League 2, fine, and we don't have to play each other. I'd rather that, if I'm being honest. But when we're in the same league, which is going to happen, and we knew it was going to happen if we rose up the leagues, we have to change the mentality of how we go up against the game.
You carry on, mate.
But there was no, and I said this the other day, we had Ali and Bugle updates again all during the week. And I'm like, we're playing a game on Tuesday against a rival now, if you want to look at it that way. People won't, but yeah. There was nothing from our captain, nothing from the captain regarding playing them. Nothing about getting the boys up, what it means to him coming back. There was nothing from the manager regarding it other than the who's fit and stuff like that. And there's nothing. Mike Buckley's on holiday, which is fine. Mike Buckley chooses to, again, not do anything with it. I just think, chairman of the club, you want to interview, say what it means to us as a football club, where we've come from, where we've got to. I had the iFollow on. I bought it in the end, but I had it on in Spain.
Oh, of course. Oh,
Someone
yeah.
sent me a clip of it in Spain, the dodgy iFollow in Spain, and it was there, the East Counties, whatever it called. They had Alex Gilby, their striker. He was saying what that meant to them, what it meant to the players. Him and Dean Lewin had gone round and told the youngsters what it actually means, what it means to this club to win it. This game, it causes division amongst Wimbledon fans, but it makes them stronger as a group, as a
Yep.
team, as a fan base. And unfortunately, until they go bust, which hopefully will happen one day, they are here. So let's fucking treat them like the scumbags they are and go and beat them on that pitch. That's what they're doing to us. Every time we go out there, we get embarrassed. I've been twice. Once when we scored the FA Cup goal, do you know what I mean? Which we all went mental, but they still beat us in that game and then live off that because it was a fluke
Yep.
goal and they still remind us. You can't go, yeah, Jack Midson's goal. And then they go, well, what happened? And Taylor's the only one when Taylor scored. Do you know what I mean? And that's all we've had ever over them. And it's getting boring. Most people that went yesterday, 600 of them, really wanted us to beat them. And I know there's a few that don't want to get involved in it at all. And I respect the decisions of people that don't. But let everyone else now who really does want to get involved in it have it. I don't like this shouting on social media, like, oh, we're not getting, it's like a badge of honor or something. We're going there to support the players and support. And I think the players need to do more. People said there's a lot of pressure on them when they come through the door. They hear it. Good. I want them to be like in a camp for a week, hearing why we hate them, their eyelids like that. And they go in there like bloodthirsty fucking animals. Do you know what I mean? As I said, I was disappointed Reeves as a captain yesterday with regards to some of that. And maybe it's because I was fuming and I'm going a bit overboard. And maybe, you know what I mean? I shouldn't read too much in it. But yeah, the club should do more. And yeah, that's my opinion on our mentality needs to change. And again, games like Sutton as well, things like that. They're not derby. They're derby or rivalry there, but we get turned over and it's embarrassing.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm probably relatively opposite to you. I'm kind of really, really bored of the rhetoric of this fucking game. Pardon my language. In terms of the game itself, I don't think in modern day football anyone cares anymore. I don't think there's any, yeah, this happened, this happened, this happened. But regardless of that situation, I can't expect Armani Little or Reeves or any other football player to come into our environment and feel the way that we feel. I think that's ridiculous. I don't see it and I don't really care for it really. All I'm bothered about is when they wear the shirt, they wear it with pride. And it would be lovely if they I recognize the history of that kind of game. And it would be lovely to feel like they bought into it. They obviously haven't. I don't really care, if I'm honest, about war crying online. We don't need any of that. We've got plenty. We don't need, and I don't think we need a whole hoo-ha around it. I don't think it helps. I think it's really boring, the whole, what we're not going to call them by their name. Oh, just get on with it. It's just get on with it. Like, get over, I'm not saying get over it or forgive it or anything like that, but I feel like what happens for, and again, from a fan's perspective, we get so wrapped up with the emotion and the history and all of the rubbish. We just forget it's there's a game of football at 90 minutes and we need to try and win it. And I feel like we kind of, whether as a club, we push all of that to the bottom of the pile when we play them, whether it's just coincidence, whether it's because they're a better club football wise, I don't know what the answer is, to be honest with you. But it there must be something that whenever we play them, we've been poor, in my opinion, often both at home and away. We won the one at home, which was great. I don't think we've played particularly well. I don't, like I said, I'm not into the whole you've got to go out there, blood, sweat, tears, and cut Wimbledon. I don't really buy into that because I don't think football's like that anymore. I also, contrary to what you're saying, you had your rant,
Yeah,
didn't you?
sorry, mate. I want to
That's
come
all right.
back.
I don't really buy this whole we're Wimbledon, the old Wimbledon, but it's gone. Go, go. We can't. We are the embodiment, the continuation of, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But it's not the same group. It's not the same atmosphere. It's not the same environment. It's not the same anything. You've got guys here who are holding on to the past, me included at times, to be blunt, because I'm a Wimbledon fan and I'm a crazy gang. And that was the Wimbledon that I fell in love with. And this is the incarnation of my team. And this is what we do. But to expect these guys to be like, you know, we're an old school mindset of a club that existed back then. which is not the same now. And it's kind of, I feel like we get muddled into. My last point, I thought as a fan base, I thought we were totally embarrassing yesterday. From start to finish, I got so bored reading the constant nonsense of some people going on about, oh, we've won already. We haven't won. It's a game of football. We haven't won at all. We have, if you want, or had won the conversation. We have already won the footballing karma debate, but we haven't won the game of football. And it's this rubbish behaviour of, oh, we've still got a football fan club and stuff. Yeah, we do. Great. We've lost a game of football, so, and we're here to play football. And you've got the constant bickering of those who go about this and those who go about that. And we've lost one game, and the toys out of the pram online was a total embarrassment. We're supposed to be a football club that is about community, understanding, recognising where we come from, identifying where we're going to. And there were a lot of guys who basically blew up big style yesterday, right, to the point that, in my opinion, was totally detrimental to us as a group and as a club. And I felt that was really frustrating. If people get offended by that, it's an honest opinion. You can have a go at me. I'm happy to deal with it. We have to, as a group, try to find a way to come together. If you don't want to go and watch the game of football, great. If you do want to watch a game of football, great. Don't stick it online. Don't make a deal out of it. Let the ones who want to watch a game of football go and watch a game and get behind the people there. My question is always, if it's a big, big game, we've got to play them away in the playoffs. What, no one turns up in a tight game? I think fans make a difference, bizarrely. When a fan base is up and buzzing, I think it makes an impact on the team. I genuinely do. Sometimes at away games, you see the atmosphere and the energy and people are tired. I feel like the fans can, not always. And it does get watered down with the fact that if you say any kind of swear word, the whole planet jumps on top of you. I feel like we have just got to find a way of coming together and accepting it and moving on and recognising it's just this game of football. Forget all the extra nonsense. We've done all that. We've got over that. We've won that. We've knocked the team out in the first round. Would it be all right if we just focus on January the 23rd at 7:45 to football, please? Can we just get that bit done? Forget the rest of it. The rest of it, we all know that. Put all your energy in supporting the team and stop getting over each other's backs if it doesn't go our way. It's a game of football. We've played poorly. They'll do something about it. The players should be annoyed because we lost, not because of who we lost to. The fact that we were terrible. That's what I'd rather they focus on. And we can then maybe try and get forward. Anyway, there you go. That's my rant. Now over to you.
No, I tend to agree with some of that. I tend to agree with, not agree with some of it as well. So
that's all right.
I'm very emotive. I'm a very emotional football fan, as many people know. And last night is probably the first time I've never picked up my phone after the game. I've spoke to the boys, but I didn't go on social media. I didn't go anything like that because, one, I would have gone, like you said, blown up and said some stupid things that once I calmed down, gone actually and thought about it. And I said, I went on there this morning. I've had all day. I was hurt last night, though, Dan. I was hurt with the fact
were you hurt? What are you hurt about, though? That's what I'm
just,
going to get.
Just getting apps, like watching them, their players. You say our players don't have to, you can't, they their players felt it. They knew what it was about yesterday. They were celebrating.
How
and they do it all the time.
They know that.
You could see them. You see the players cheering and celebrating.
But when they're doing that,
Callum Bailey gets sent off, they're going absolutely ballistic. Our players are sitting there going, "Do you know what I mean?" And the mentality of our fans, as you said, we've already won.
But if we were 3-0 up against Salford, and they had a player sent off, and then another person sent off.
We wouldn't go mental like they did.
We would be celebrating and being very happy.
Fans would.
And also,
both together. Cheeks. I think what you said regarding fans, I think we should be taking as many as we possibly can. And I think the club should be selling it to go up there. I know people say, well, as we said, it's their own decision. Some people want to make that decision. But I think we should be going up there with 1,500, 2,000 Wimbledon fans. The whole boycott stuff's gone now. We started the boycotts years ago and asking other clubs to boycott as well to get the FA Cup back and our honours back, which we have now got. And as I said, we've won in that respect. We've got Plough Lane, beautiful ground. I'm going to say something which might shock a few people and might think, I'm Wimbledon FC, right? I don't like or love AFC Wimbledon. I go because my mates are there. I loved part of it, and I do love going to the games, and I love my mates being there, and I love my boy supporting Wimbledon. I loved Wimbledon FC and they took that away from me. So never forget what they did to us. And that's why I'm passionate about hating them as much as I do. Any other time, I don't care about them. Next week, like Saturday, I wouldn't care how they get on. But when we play them, we should be giving everything in that game, fans and players. Never let them forget what they did to us as a club. And as I said, they're big wind-up merchants. And that's why, I mean, we should go there and show them we are Wimbledon. I don't like AFC Wimbledon because I don't like the politics that surrounds everything regards to fan base. As you said, everyone blows up. So your opinion's better than my opinion. And we've had it with the podcast. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We do a podcast, the other podcasts go mental, do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. And it's all bickering. It's all tit for tat because they don't like what we're doing and we don't like what they're doing. Do you know what I mean? And I can be to blame for that sometimes. But I think as a fan base, it's just, or maybe it's just football nowadays and social media and stuff like that. But I just don't enjoy it. I don't, all the tit for tat, it's the job for the boys. It's the same old people involved in everything. No one else new can get involved with the club. And I just think it's like, as I said, I was driving my taxi after that. I got a woman in the car. She goes, "Oh, I live in Surrey." I said, "Oh, right, I know Surrey pretty well." She goes, "Oh, Mitchum, I know Mitchum. I work at AFC Wimbledon as a security guard." I said, "Oh, that's fine." I said, "I'm a Wimbledon fan. I sit in block 119. She told me that there is a camera watching my little section that we stand in, trying to not trick us up, but trying to see if we do anything naughty so they can get us, boom, banned. Do you know what I mean? What is that all about with our club, that this mentality that we're 10, 15 lads cheering our fans, never had a thrown a punch. We give a bit of banter to the away fans, they give it back to us. We don't, there's never ever been a fight there unless someone comes in our end and then they start. But I just think the mentality of our club is just to, I don't know, it's just the loyal fan, the Wimbledon FC fan is forgotten now. We've got younger fans coming up as well now who get their opinions just put to the curb. It doesn't matter what you think, you know what I mean? You're a youngster, you ain't got a clue what's going on. Do you know what I mean? And they don't. They hate Milton Keynes as well now, and they're coming up. They want to go support the boys. They want to go to the games. Do you know what I mean? But they just get treated like, your opinion don't matter anymore, boys. And I just think, do you know what I mean? You're young, boys and girls, you don't know what you're talking about. We went through it. I was there. I went through all the protesting. I went to the games and protested. I was outside the FA headquarters. I run down the road outside chasing Charlie Cotwell in his beaten up Jaguar. And my mate Paul had loads of eggs in his pocket. He was going to egg him and then forgot, and then they all went over his shirt and jacket. Do you know what I mean? I did all that, and I did that because I loved Wimbledon, and now we're AFC Wimbledon. I just find, as you said, it's we get so diverse nowadays, and I don't think it's just that game. I don't think it's just them. I think there's a big division within our club, and I think it's stuff that's happened over the year, like with the Danny Macklin stuff. There's stuff still going on at the club that I'm not happy with. There's people, I think, that work in the club or actually volunteering at the club or do stuff at the club for their own self-importance and their own self-gratitude. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, I just, it really winds me up. And as I said, I'm Wimbledon FC. I don't like AFC Wimbledon much at the moment.
I think there's a couple of things to unpick what you said. The thing I find really difficult is that if you're able to go and you're not going to go, or you don't watch, or you've got all this stuff around that, I kind of struggle to understand, why does the result matter then? Like, if you're that not bothered about going and supporting and adding your positive influence to the team to go and create an energy that helps them win, if you're taking all this stuff away, why are you so bothered about the result? I find that's where I kind of sit. And I get about not paying money, and I get that, and I'm not mentioning names of people who I actually have a lot of time and quite a lot of respect for, but I find it hard to kind of, I'm, you know, like fan A going, I'm never going to put money into that team. I didn't realise, apparently we get money, apparently, according to away games, we'll get a certain amount of the gate.
I don't know, on iFollow, one of my sources. Well, people were saying, don't buy iFollow. But then the club said, buy it because we get money out of it. And that's what I mean. Who knows?
You're a football fan. Don't worry about giving them money. Don't worry about it. Why are we worried? Surely, what's more important, going and supporting the team or giving them some money? You're going to go and give money to what? All of us. So we're using them as example, right? Where we won't go to Wimbledon and give them money because of that. But we'll go to Walsall, who are a promotion rival. We'll take 1,500 people. 1,500 people
to Wrexham.
We'll pay good money to go to Wrexham to give them millionaire money. Like it just, the argument just doesn't add up. Also, and it should just be about go and support your team and enjoy it or not. But it doesn't, I don't understand why there's a big thing. The other thing around it, Lee, as well, is that, again, it, with every leadership model, with every ownership model, you're going to get the pros and the cons and the yeses and the nos. But if you create a fan environment where you're encouraging 4,000 opinions, technically, who all have got entitlement, or I've hit this, that, and the other, you're going to get loads of this. A lot of teams and a lot of clubs get unity using Manchester United as an example. They hate all hate the Glazers. So they're all going to back the Glazers because of the fact of the MK game should be a real unifying factor. It's actually our most divisive factor.
Yeah, 100%.
And we haven't found a way as a club, particularly away, home it's a bit easier, particularly away, that whole debate, that whole area, we've just not managed to turn it into a way to unify, even to the point of some of the ridiculous messaging about when you're a Wimbledon fan, like, come on. Like, just what? The message that was put up about many of us support Wimbledon tonight, it's just rubbish.
Oh, I said that. And then people are like, what a Stop statement. It. That's a good statement. I'm like,
oh, go away.
Someone said it might have been linked to the EFL because someone said that they put out a similar statement, but in the EFL, the police asked them to put it out. But
I find it.
Boca Juniors putting that out before they play River Plate?
I just found it. The whole thing was really difficult. And I think, like you said, I genuinely don't mind which camp, but everyone needs to jump in a camp. And it needs to be, it's the week before MK, 5 days to go. Jake Reeves, this is our game. This is our payback. We're up, we're on. And everyone jump on it or don't bother. And kind of stick in a camp and do it. I'm more annoyed of the fact that we played absolutely terrible and they're a rival, if you like, regarding playoffs. And people are not going to like it. Like you said, they are a rival. People are looking up, they care. The club have turned it into a rivalry. Rightly, wrongly, left or right is up to you. But if you make that much, if you're changing your behaviour for one particular team, you've made it into a rivalry.
Yeah.
My opinion.
That's what I got last night when I was watching it. I was so angry. And my missus is like, you watch games quite a lot and you never get this angry. Like, I was dropping C-bombs and stuff like that. And,
yeah, which is
what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, as much as I try and not make it a rivalry because I don't like getting out, as I said, the reason why I don't go Tuesday night games that much because it would have been a nightmare getting home and working next day. Also, like, I get really passionate up there. And, yeah, I don't want to get nicked with a family and a good job. But as I said, my problem with it and why the mentality shift needs to happen for me is the fact that this is a different team,
yep,
different management, so to speak. I know we had them last year, but it's the same result. It's the same way we're playing. Do you know what I mean? We've shit the bed every time. Ardley, Lees, Robinson. Do you know what I mean? And it's something's got to change regarding that because we can't just keep shitting the bed. Or as you said, are they just unfortunately better on the pitch than us every time we play them? I don't think so. I think, okay, we're missing two players yesterday, but I just don't see that. And I just think we have to change the mentality regarding that game because, as I said, it's different players, different mentality, and something's got to change. And
I mean, for me, the reason why I'm not probably as totally frustrated or devastated is I genuinely believe they are a very good football team. And I felt that the reason why I didn't necessarily, and again, this is why, for me, it's that balance between we played absolutely terrible and they were absolutely brilliant. And people go, we lost 3-0. You must have been rubbish. Well, no, you can lose 3-0 and just get paid off the park. I felt it was a balancing act. They were comfortable winners yesterday.
Oh, mate, look at the stats. We had 2 shots on target. They had 12.
In my opinion, I thought they were quite comfortably one of the better teams that we played. They've got good people, good players all
but
over.
They
the
haven't
teams.
Been, though, Danny, this season. They've been beaten in Morecambe the other day.
Well,
do you know one
but
thing?
They
this
are,
is,
though.
This is
on
it.
Form, they are the second best team in the league.
If I don't know if this is 100% true, right? So don't quote me on this. I saw it on Facebook.
Quote him on it.
Sam Elliott put it up and I said, this can't be true. We didn't have a game last week, did we, against Crawley?
No.
Right? Milton Keynes were playing at home against Morecambe.
Yep.
Not one of our coaching team went to that game to watch them. Not one. We watched the video analysis of it. Not one of our coaching staff went to that game on a day off. There was no game for us. Went to Milton Keynes to watch them play Morecambe and wrote down stuff and, do you know what I mean, and how they might line up and stuff like that. I think that's shocking, in my opinion. because
I don't know.
What's going to happen, unless they're scared that they're, oh, look, it's the AFC Women manager, get lynched. I'd fancy Johnny Jackson's chances against most of them up there.
I'm sure there's scouts who have gone out and about and have identified that one and that one and that one and that
we
one.
Didn't have anyone at their ground on the day they played Morecambe, which I think is shocking. Do you know what I mean? And it was a free weekend. It weren't like we had anything else going on, Dan. What do you do? Go Winter Wonderland or something, if it's still on?
Well, maybe. But I mean, I think people would be... I think it's a really negative place to be if we can't acknowledge the fact that they're a good side. I think that's a really, really poor place to be.
But I don't want to acknowledge it, Dan.
I know you don't have to.
I don't want to acknowledge it.
But they are.
I want them to be an awful side. I want them to get
not,
out of the league.
But they're not. They're not. This is what I'm saying. Is that
I know.
You don't have to acknowledge it, but they're a good team. That there's no argument on that. The stats don't lie. They've now into six.
One thing we can agree on, though, is
you don't like them. Well, that's what it is.
The fans are a bunch of C words. I don't want to swear to them.
Yeah, but they know that they are, and we know that they are. But why are we bothered about it? Why do people nibble?
It bothers me. I don't nibble. As I said to you earlier, any of them going to mentions or anything or try and be funny, I just block, because I think I ain't talking to you. I'm going to get nowhere. I've seen some people on there, and I see some of the youngsters, and they're arguing back and forth with them, and I'm thinking, you're going to be nowhere with this. That at the end of the day, it's like a Sutton fan tried to give me stick the other day. I thought, well, I have a piece of this because you're bottom of the league, mate. What can you say against me as a team that are trying to chase the playoffs against a Sutton fan? And he's giving it. I'm like, you're bottom of the league, mate. So I just kept coming back with that. But when you're getting beat 3-0 or 3-1 by the team that you fucking want to win. Like, as if someone said to you at the start of the season, you can win one game, you can batter one team this year, we're all going to say Milton Keynes.
Yeah, of course,
right?
Yeah.
And most people go, well, that's not a rivalry, though. I don't even see them as existing. I saw something yesterday. I don't mind if we lose 100, if we lost 100-0. I was like, no, I do mind if we lose 100-0.
Yeah, it should matter. And it's not
if we lost that game 6-0 or 7-0 last night, I would have been calling for Johnny Jackson to be sacked today.
But it's not about, but it's also not about bragging rights. It's the fact of, they're derailing our season. Like, yes. That game yesterday wasn't just about the game. We've lost a centre back,
two centre backs, right back.
We've lost a right back. Like, we've lost personnel in that game, and that whole evening, I'm more annoyed the fact that we're three players down and lost to a potential playoff candidate than that game. But like I said, I don't feel like we've got it right, and I just feel like the difference between the two teams, I just don't think they give a monkeys. I think they're like, oh, here they come again. And maybe that's because we always turn up, we shit the bed or whatever. In general, I don't feel like we're so worked up and it's all in our veins because we've been hard done by, which it would be, and I understand it, but I don't think they're in that space.
A lot of them ain't going to be in that space.
They've gained a club. They laugh at us because we have lost everything and we're all passionate because we've gone through it, and all that energy is understandable. And I don't think they put that much pressure on the game. I just think they play it. They want to win it, but everyone hates them, so they're not. I just don't think we got that right. Whether we need to change our mentality or not, personally, I'd love to either see us properly grab it and turn it into a real something. Personally, I'd love it to be we sell out every year. It's 3,000 every week. I would, if it was a Saturday, I'd be going. I'd be bringing my dad along or whatever. I know people go, oh, I'm never going to go. I understand their point of view and they can have it, and that's okay. But if we're going to turn it into a rivalry, I don't know many Celtic fans who would go, I'll never step into Ibrox. I don't know it. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know many Arsenal fans who would go, never going to go to Tottenham. No. Real Madrid fan, I'm never going to Barca. You want to be there. Surely the best glory is going to watch your team beat them in their backyard. That's got to be the best.
To be fair, in Spain, they don't travel, so that's right.
I agree
what you're saying in regards to that. Like, at the moment, like one of my mates said earlier about giving them only the least amount of fans we could give them in the away end, say about 400, and then fill that away end with Wimbledon fans as well, half.
Yeah,
I think you do that, you kind of... Do you know what I mean? You kind of take it away, like we are being petty then kind of thing. And I think,
I don't think that's petty at all. If we've got Wimbledon fans who, and I think this applies to every game, if there is a number of Wimbledon fans who would like to go to a game, give them the smallest amount possible and pack it out Wimbledon. That's home advantage. Why are we selling our tickets to an MK fan, if you want? rather than Jim from Tooting who wants to go. I don't care if my dog wants to go.
Your point earlier on the money thing as well, it's like they're hemorrhaging money anyway. It's only because of the property deals that Winkelmann signed is keeping him afloat and making him money. The club hemorrhages money all the time, and they're just hoping that one day they'll get up to the promised land or to get a decent cup run. But I don't think you should buy anything when you get there. I think you buy your match ticket, you eat before, you don't buy anything when you get inside the ground. Don't give them any money for food or drink or anything like that. But us going to the game and paying 24 quid for a ticket is not going to help them sign Troy Parrott again. Do you know what I mean? And I just think we need to change the mentality regarding not just that game, but I think the whole club needs to change the mentality, because Craig Cope said at the start of the season, the players and the fans have probably been aligned, and we probably saw that. We said that, didn't we? It's probably the most likeable squad that we've had. But to me, it seems like we've thrown that all away in one game against them.
And I think that, for me, is my biggest heart, is I actually felt, and I actually believed in this group.
Yes. Again, last year. You know when I said I was hurt, and you said why, and I think that's it.
Because when we got relegated from League One,
I believed in Curry. Coming over at the end and telling the fans to calm down as well. A couple of my mates were really riled up with him yesterday, Jack Curry, because they were clapping, but you got... Some fans are going to be pissed yesterday with regards to the way we got beat by them. So they're pissed, right? Understand what the situation is regarding the game.
Yeah, read the room.
Telling Wimbledon fans to calm down, mate, is like, no. Not for me.
I think that's, for me, where I think the biggest hurt is. And the whole JJ to go and all that nonsense, I'm not buying that. I don't think...
Still a question mark, though, over a contract now?
Not for me. It will be a reaction now. It's a case of, if we play well against Mansfield and we win 2-0, and then all of a sudden Ali comes back and we do all right.
Yep.
And then we play him at home and we nick a 1-0, then all of a sudden the whole world changes. So I want, as a fan base, to recognise that we don't need to derail our whole season because of this one game. But we have the ability to do that if we come at games and we get Aggie and then Mansfield turn up and they might win 2-0 or whatever, and all of a sudden it's roller coasters out of control.
Which has happened a couple of seasons now.
But I just feel like we, as a fan base, are probably more frustrated because we actually felt we had a sniff and a really decent squad and a good chance to win it. And we've, in my opinion, and in all of our opinions, we've kind of bottled it, or we've just not turned up. But we're not as bad as we were against Sutton. I thought Sutton was absolutely despicable. So I don't feel as bad as the Sutton game, as the way that we played. It's just a frustration that a game that a lot of people identify as a big game or the big game, we haven't decided to turn up.
I agree. And I think from club personally, I think we need to change the mentality regarding the us versus them kind of mentality of people that are involved in the club and stuff who can't see no wrong with anything going on at the club. And there's been a lot going wrong recently with the whole Danny Macklin stuff. Do you know what I mean? And that's kind of lucky that it was good going on the pitch at the time, because that kind of got swept away. Again, the report came out the other day from the FA, and as I said, there's stuff that's been going on regards to the club, the security, the stewards. We've been doing well on the pitch, so other stuff's been off it. And the whole, I kind of see it as some people think they're a better fan because they're involved with the club or they're doing something with the club. And yeah, we're all in it together, and we should start thinking that way and changing that mentality.
And also, I feel that the actual people we should be hated on isn't really anything to do with MK. It's the Football Association. I think they're the ones who have been the total farce in this. It's kind of almost like blaming the postmasters when it's the bloody post office. Like, this, the FA are the ones that let us down here. MK stuff and all that nonsense, and that's rubbish. It should never have even got out the door. And some hoxie group have allowed it to happen. And rather than always chucking the door and chucking the gun and pointing the gun at Winkelmann and Koppel and that, not all them lot, it should be, well, why have you even let this happen?
Winkelmann.
Why have you even let this happen?
Winkelmann's like, a big part of that, though, Dan. Winkelmann's a massive part.
I'm not saying he's not.
With the FA, I'd say he's alongside them. He's alongside them.
Yeah. But because he was pushing for any club. No one's boycotting the FA.
Always,
no one's boycotting anything through the FA. It's just, we just go, it's all them. And we don't, if we're talking about hatred and despicable behaviours and all this sort of stuff, point your finger somewhere else as well. It ain't just one party here. There's a number of parties.
No, I agree.
Like you can point your finger at, but it's easy to do that one.
Like you said earlier, Salmon Man. Salmon Man Winkelmann, the FA. Three of them are absolute, yeah.
Come on, and it's just for me, it's done that. Anyway, I'm hopeful that we can park this game and park it. We can try to move forward in the weekend, but we'll see.
Okay, well, we'll move on. If you've got any thoughts regarding Wimbledon's mentality and stuff, and you agree with me or Danny, or you don't, let us know on Twitter and all socials. Right, we'll move on and we'll discuss the January window and the game against Mansfield.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, we're back and we're going to be discussing, we're going to bring it in all in one. We're going to discuss any transfer news. Do we need a centre-back now that Johnson could be out for a long term? Did hear a rumour that he could be out for up to 8 weeks, possibly longer, which is a massive blow for our squad. But we have a week left to possibly sign anyone if we need someone. And then we got the game against Mansfield on Saturday. Mansfield are one of the best teams I've seen this year, so we'll discuss that. Danny, what do you think? Do we go after a centre back now, or do you hope that Pierce Callumbye can get fit? Callumbye will miss. Is it one game or two games?
Three. It's three. It's not three straight red.
It's not three games anymore.
I thought red was three.
I thought that, but it's not. There's different red cards now. Dissent is two. Some people said it's only one game because it was a straight red for the pulling like goal scoring opportunity. Yeah, I thought that. I thought it was free because then that would be Biller and Callumbye out for free. But someone said it would be possibly two games. I'm not 100% to be fair. And also, Pierce is still going to be a little bit away. Me, I'd throw Sutcliffe in. I like okay. Sutcliffe. I like him a lot. I think he's a good player. I don't want to see Lee Brown anywhere near centre-back. I really don't. He hasn't played for weeks. And I can't see him going, yeah, centre-back. Possibly go into the loan market then and try and get a young kid who can come in and do a few weeks. But you're not going to get, you're going to have to get someone on a season long loan now. And no club's going to send him to us. We'll go in, he'll only play till we've got a couple of centre backs back, unless he comes in and does really well. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm just looking at the PFSA, which is just the first thing I can see on the website. And it just says the origin of red and yellow cards, got the yellow card. And then it's got the red card. It says, for sending, it says, as we have already stated, a red card means it is dependent on the nature and seriousness of the foul. For sending off after a second yellow in one game, the suspension is one match, which we knew that two yellows is a one game ban. For a so-called professional foul,
which is what they did,
a player will also receive a one match ban.
There you go.
So I presume it's just one game.
Yeah.
If the foul in question is dissent,
it's two matches.
It'll be two.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about violent conduct,
that's three.
It's three.
There you
go.
Yeah.
With that in mind,
yeah.
if that's just a one game ban, then personally speaking, I think it's in an absolutely perfect world, we would be going into the market to try and get, dependent on Johnson's injury, a young versatile defender who can play centre back and can probably play left back.
Yep.
In an absolutely perfect world. But I think this all depends on what we're looking to achieve as a club. If we're genuinely thinking, and I felt, by the way, that we were probably, with the signings that we've got, we were thinking, well, we're not going to break the bank, but we're going to have a little pop. Ronan Curtis is a great signing. If he gets fit,
he is
a very good signing.
He was one of the best players in League One when he was fit.
He scored the most goals out of an outfield player for Portsmouth since the millennium. Like, he is a player.
Yeah.
And he is comfortably a League One player.
100%.
If he's anywhere near the Ronan Curtis that we've seen, but we don't know. You've got to imagine at 27, he is going to be playing to, and he'd be right to, and it's why it's a great move for both parties. A guy like him, he should be looking to have a great season and go and sign for a League One team.
But
at least,
will his injury hold him back and he don't want to get injured again and puts him, that's him done?
Of course.
Because it was a bad ACL injury that he had.
But that's why he has a punt without Wimbledon, and that's exactly why this is a really good move.
Yes.
He's a good signing. Lewis is a great signing long term. The young forward, I think, for what we were in the market for, I think he was about right. I can't see anything of him. We've seen him once. I don't think it's a bad signing. I think that's about right.
And what I've heard from the Cambridge fans who said he wasn't hardworking, he was lazy, I didn't see that in the minutes that he played against them. So
I mean, it's one game, so it's hard to make that judgment. I get it,
but he looks like he's got pace to burn. He got in behind him quite easily, I thought, and that's the kind of player we need. We need Ali and Bugle back to play with him and to play with Ronan Curtis, because Tilly's well off it. Nerfield's injured. Who else is playing?
Sasu.
And Sasu, for me, he's still a bit green. He's still deer in the headlights sometimes.
If at the beginning of March, which gives us one extra month, we're within 6 points of the playoffs, Ali's fit, Bugle, Curtis is doing okay, Tilly and whoever it might be going forward, and maybe Johnson comes back, we would have a sniff at, if we've got 10 games to go to make up 6 points, we would be in the hunt. But the challenge is, from our point of view, is from a football club perspective, I guess the questions are, do we really want to go up? Are we in a position as a club and as a squad to go up? And I used to be no, but I think if you've got the opportunity to go up, you've got to take it.
Yes.
You've got to have a look at it and earn the money and don't spend anything, Dan, pocket it, whatever.
Just a quick one. I asked you previously, I think the start of season or last season, would you be happy with us being a yo-yo club? So we go into League One, we struggle, go down again, win League Two, or go out the playoffs, go in League One. I'd happily do that for a few seasons till we then, because we're going to lose Ali, we're going to lose Curry, till we get a decent squad. Like now we've got Lewis, though, we've got Johnson. You know, Biller's going to go nowhere if he keeps playing like he did against them, or his injury record. Do you know what I mean? Get a decent squad that then we yo-yo and then do a Northampton. Do you know what I mean? Northampton doing really well in there now, so they've got used to it. They've got players who have been there a couple of years. I said that to you. I think that's what we need to be looking at.
I mean, but again, if you're going to do that, then you've got to invest in the group and with the stadium and that sort of stuff. I don't think we're financially in a position to get the firepower at, or more importantly, to prioritise Ali's sale, Curry's sale, that money goes to the stadium over the squad. I don't think we're in a position to really prioritise getting promoted or being in the mix over paying off the stadium.
I changed my mind today at one thing. This morning, I was like, sell Ali. Sell him now. Season's done. That's us done. We're done. We're not going to play. We're going to. Yeah. I think we'll finish now in the bottom half of the table, unfortunately. And I thought, right, we're done. Get as much money for Ali now. Sell him on. Goodbye. I'm actually quite annoyed that he's still out in the Asia Cup. I wanted Iraq to go out. They've just won the group. Some people were even tipping them to maybe get to the final, which means that he near misses Bradford. He could possibly miss Barrow. And we're paying his way. And also, I think they've got internationals in March. So we lose him again in March. And it's kind of winding me up a little bit. I know how good he is and I know everyone loves him. He's a good man off the pitch. He's great on the pitch for us. But as a club, He's not doing anything for us at the moment. We're losing to them. We could lose Saturday. We're now well out of the playoff hunt. Do you know what I mean? Just sell him and maybe buy another striker. And then as I've calmed down during the day, I've gone, you can't do that. That's madness. He's our best player by country mile. We still are. I think John, our American listener and contributor, he said we're only 4 points, I think, off the playoffs still.
Yeah.
Or something mad. And then I thought, wait a minute, are we only 4 points? So we still have to play them at our place. We beat Mansfield on Saturday, if we can put a team out. Do you know what I mean? They're still winnable points. We still got Forest Green at home and people like that to play. We could still go on a run.
I mean, it is really, really tight. I mean, we're on 39 points. Notts County are in 7th, 43. And 16th are on 36. So we're 3 points off 16th, 4 points off 7th.
Yeah,
so but
14
still
points
very
off relegation.
Yeah, so we've got loads. We're not going to go down that. But I guess it is just a question of, if we feel like we want to go and get promoted, we really could do with a backup left back and a backup centre back, because if Curry gets injured or anything, Brown is a massive drop off. And I don't think a Gondia would travel well across. I feel like we would, if we want to have a real aspiration to go and get promoted, we've got to have another defender now who you could potentially play Johnson at left back and him in the middle or something.
Johnson's gone now.
Well, at the moment, but if he's got a couple of months, he may come back. But I don't think, I think if we're going to, if Ali's coming back, Bugyal, Davison, and you've got Gordon, I think a forward deal was probably done.
But we want to be in the mix when Ali comes back. We want to be in that mix because Ali's going to be refreshed. He ain't playing loads of minutes, right? He played 70 minutes against Taiwan, I think it was. Vietnam.
Today, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't score. He played 70 minutes. I don't think he'll play in the next game. I don't think he'll start that game. I think he's, the geezer's got his main strikers already, which blows my mind that a guy who plays in the Iraqi league is ahead of Ali, but that's football for you. So he'll come back refreshed, hopefully, and raring to go again to get the next few months out of the way, and then he gets his big move. He scores 20 goals in the thing. So that could push us on there. We just got to be in amongst that mix, and it just worries me that now we've lost two. I know we've lost two centre-back. We're one centre-back long-term, one for one game and Biller for one game. We just can't, as you said earlier, I think if we lose on Saturday and we lose convincingly, I just don't want it to go toxic again like it has done. We need to remain positive. We need to think... Yeah.
Saturday,
do you think?
He should be. And if he it was knocked out early in the week, you'd think he could be around. But I'm not.
Got to be on the bench at least, isn't he?
Again, I don't feel like our season really hinges around Mansfield.
No, it doesn't.
The last three games, in my opinion, was Wrexham, Mansfield, MK. They are, in my opinion, two of the three that are going to go up automatically out of those three.
But,
and the other one is probably favourite to win the playoffs.
But you'll see yourself as a playoff contender. You need to be getting points off them, and we've just lost 2-0, 3-1.
I don't think you need points. We lose three in a row, Dan. But I don't think you go up by or are playoff contenders by nicking points off the top three.
We lost.
I think you get in the playoffs by everyone else doing well. So battering the bottom lot and nicking points off everyone else.
We lost a couple games. We lost two or three games, and you were saying we were on a bad run.
Well, we are on a bad run at the minute.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. And we've got to try and turn that run. We've got Bradford at home, which is tough. We've got Barrow, they're fighting for that automatic promotion as well. Do you know what I mean? We've got to, I know Mansfield, don't hinge on Mansfield, but we also need to see a reaction after what we've just seen on Tuesday. So my main reaction for me now is how we get against them in March. Because I think our season is done. I really do, because I don't think we're going to get Ali back in time to be anywhere near it, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong. I never am. I did say Cawley would get called off, and I was right with that. I did say we'd sign the players that we have signed, and I was right with that.
Correct. Anything else you want to quickly get off the system, Mary?
Well, I nearly forgot about the calling off the game. I'm glad someone mentioned it on Twitter the other day.
I tried to avoid that, really.
Yeah, I know.
But so I feel like we could do it with a defender. I feel like the only market we've got is if it'll be one in, one out. So if we lose, if someone decides they'll take a punt of they want to go to play in Scottish Premier for a couple of years and we cancel a contract and we get someone in. But apart from that, I think we've kind of we've done our business, I feel. Lemony Evans would have been amazing to have kept, but we've kind of swapped him for the guy from Palace. So I'm not particularly downhearted if we don't, but it would be a real sign of intent if we brought in another player. But it's one of those things that my dad was saying. It was like, well, if you get another forward and he comes back, he's definitely not playing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of who's going to want to come. So the market that we're in really is a backup centre-back / plays while Johnson's injured, but we don't know how long for yet. So it'll be interesting to see. I think what's more interesting to see is the lineup.
On Saturday. That's what I was going to say to you. Because I agree. I think we need to bring a versatile defender in now because Curry is the only left-back we got because Brown ain't good enough. Now Johnson's injured. He would cover that. You could put Biller across the left and Ogadia go right. But then if one of them gets injured, we're kind of screwed on that. Yeah. I think we need a Towler. Someone mentioned him earlier, but unfortunately he played the other day and apparently played well for them. So I can't see us getting him. We need someone to come in, I think. A young lad, maybe from Palace, maybe from Chelsea, maybe hit up Robbo and say, look, give us a left-back or a centre-back who can play left-back, please, just for the end of the month until the end of the season. The interesting one for me is lining up on Saturday. At the moment, obviously, Basco's in goal.
Yep.
That's given. He's been excellent this year. We go Ogundeir right back.
Yep.
I'd go Sutcliffe and Lewis. I love Sutcliffe. I think he's a really good player. I see him, remember when he came on against Stockport, and yeah. I thought he was really good against one of the best teams in the league. Really good. I'd have him over Brown, Pierce, Callum Bay, even at the moment. I'd give him a chance. What else is there okay. to lose? Who else are we going to put in at the moment? Brown? I don't want to see Brown
it's
either.
It's realistically either Sutcliffe or Brown if you play yeah. a four.
I think
you go a bit left field.
He's going to go Brown. Jackson will go Brown. I want Sutcliffe. So no one's ever said that before.
Jackson goes Brown and Lee wants Sutcliffe.
And then Curry left back.
And there's no way you think that we'll play maybe do like a 3-4-3.
He hasn't or gone played 3-4-3 all season. He's very.
He hasn't, but needs he's must very, maybe.
It doesn't matter. He plays 4-4-2 or the diamond, and I don't want to see the diamond again now.
Okay, so you're basically saying that, and I agree, but I think he'll go Brown next to Lewis, he'll go Ogundeir right, and he'll obviously go Curry left.
My big thing is the midfield now. Where do we go okay. in that midfield?
Well, the main two stay, Reeves and Little.
Reeves and Little stay.
Well, they play.
If you go 4-4. What'd you do? 4-4-1-1 or 4-4-2?
I think I would go, and again, I don't know much about Mansfield, and I don't know much about the way that they play.
We played 4-4-2 up at their place.
Mansfield play
in great form either.
Well, Mansfield play 4-3-3 with a 10 behind the front two.
Yeah.
So I think I'd be very, very tempted to go four at the back, Armani Little and Jake Reeves. I'd then probably be looking to play three with a one up top. The one up top, obviously, would be, in my opinion, would be Gordon.
Yep.
I'd play Tilly on one wing. I would on the other wing. I'd play Curtis if he was fit.
He can't start.
We don't know how long, but he can start.
Jackson said it the other day. Jackson, we've got to be really careful. I think he'll play 30 minutes here at the moment. That's so what I only going by the right? interview Jackson did.
So in that case, I'd have Gordon. I think he'll play. I think again, I would like to have Gordon up front, Sasu on one wing, Tilly on the other, and then I would have Ball back again and say, look, you got what terrible, go and play properly and have him sitting. But I think he'll go Davison up top. I think he'll have Gordon will play one side. I think he'll play Ball. I think he might go sort of 4-3-3. And I think he'll just have Ball with Reeves and Little, and he'll have Tilly, Sasu, and then Davison up front. And I think that's what he might do. But
I'd go four across the middle.
Yeah.
I'd go Sasu wing, yeah. Tilly the other wing,
yeah.
Little and Reeves.
Yeah.
And then I'd go Davison and Gordon up front. I don't like Davison, but we haven't got anyone else. And I think it's hard to put Gordon up front against a Mansfield team on his own. And I think Davison works better with someone next to him.
Yeah, so definitely if
Davison and someone with pace as well. Gordon's got pace to burn. So
we don't have any kind of real way of changing the game.
We've got Rowan Curtis.
But again, he's got 25 minutes, mate.
We've got so Pell. But that's all we've got at the moment, though, Danny.
I guess so.
Until Bugle, we'll be on the bench.
If Bugle is back, Bugle will come straight in the team.
For me, agree. I'd have Bugle and Bugle I'd have Gordon. I'd have Gordon up front with Bugle just behind.
Correct. And then I'd have
4-1-1.
Yes, that's exactly if he's fit, Bugle,
which
he's back, I'd stick him in.
Not being fit. The only reason I'm saying it's not a long travel back either. It's about 4.5 hours, isn't it? So he should be back now. He should be back training. Qatar
is longer than 4.5 hours.
Dubai is only 4.5 hours, isn't it? It's not far, isn't it?
No, Dubai is longer than that.
Mate. Yeah, I've never been.
To Qatar, flight time, I reckon, is 8 hours.
No, we ain't 8 hours. Not a million years. I'd say five.
Nearly seven.
No, it ain't. Go on, it's it really?
6 hours 40.
Yeah, so I was closest. Right, so for me, yeah, I'd have, if Bugle's back, which I can't see why he wouldn't be, but it's Wimbledon.
Bugle should come back and play just behind Davison up front, and they should play the
same. No, Gordon up front.
Well, I would rather Gordon, but I think he'll play Davison.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's not about what we want and what we're going to get are very, very different.
No, I agree. But
having Boot your back is a real result.
And again, he should be fresh, and he should be buzzing for.
And he should be raring to go.
He's actually annoyed me, actually, Bugle.
Oh God!
Again, I think with because of the result the other day, everything annoys me now.
It does,
club.
Yes.
Everything regarding the whole club, I pick on a little. But he said, like, in time 11, and he put a post up saying, it's been really fantastic. Can't wait to represent my country again. But not, I can't wait to get back and play for Wimbledon. Just, do you know what I mean? Remember where your bread's buttered. But, yeah.
Your blood's buttered.
If Boogle's back and he's fit and he can play, I'll start him, Gordon up front on his own, Sasu one wing, Tilly the other. And then we've got Davis on the bench and Rowan Curtis, if we need to change it, Pell possibly as well.
Okay, so, and then obviously the following Tuesday, we've got Peterborough.
Yes.
In the Mickey Mouse Cup, which will be, it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays. And this time next week, transfer deadline day. So we're kind of, it's an interesting kind of mix. Because there'll also be a lot of clubs out there who will probably be like, look, we've got this lad here, but he could do us some game time in the last sort of X amount of time. Do you think you could have a look at him? Or what do you think? We're looking to push him out somewhere. I think we'll get plenty of people who are pushed our way. And, if we're not paying any money, then we'll take him. But predictions?
They don't score many. 1-1, fortunately.
1-1.
I don't know where our goals are coming from at the moment, unfortunately. Even with Bugle being back, he's not prolific. Gordon scored no goals this season, even after having 14 at League One level. And Davison, useless.
Well, they've scored 46, conceded 22. We've scored 42, conceded 33. So they have got by far the meanest defence in the whole league.
Yeah.
By far. By a decent shot. We're talking about 5 or 6 goals off Stockport, who are top of the league. I think we'll get a draw. I think there'll be enough of a reaction to get something out of the game. I think it'll just be a question of hopefully a bit of a reaction. Like, I think I'm with you. I think we'll get maybe a 1-1 would be quite a good little walk away. Taking anything from Mansfield would be a result.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm going to go 1-1. We'll then have Peterborough on the Tuesday, which it will be what that will be.
I can't predict there because I don't know who we're going to put out. Don't know who they're going to put out.
And in the following week, we've got Bradford away. So it's kind of like,
yes,
it's tricky. We always said this would be a tricky kind of period, but
I'm in Dublin.
I'm going 1-1 on Saturday. And I definitely feel that there's going to be a kind of reaction. We had a reaction after Sutton, didn't we?
We did
smashed Colchester, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
So I think we'll get a reaction. 1-1, and then we'll...
Bit different, yeah, though, playing Mansfield to playing Colchester. Colchester were dog shit.
Yeah,
Mansfield
but we were
a decent side, so...
Well, we went from Sutton.
Let's hope. Yeah, I know. Let's hope we get a reaction.
The Colchester who are a bit better. Well, we've gone from MK to someone who's better.
As we said, we've got 6 weeks for me, for Johnny Jackson get a new contract, so...
Oh, right. So you're now taking the contract off him, are you?
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe he's lucky
he weren't getting sacked last night. He could have ended up back at Charlton this morning.
Well, he was near the AJ status. He's not there now, is he?
No. Right.
Now, I've updated all of the predictions leagues. That will be coming out.
Yes.
In the next, by the time the pod's out, hopefully it will go out pretty much level with it.
Work experience is sorting out, isn't he?
Yeah. Puberty P, as we call him. He's getting himself sorted out. Jay from the Inbetweeners, he's sorting it all out. JM, he's done well, actually. He's flying up that league. You've let yourself down as usual, not for the first time. Yeah, happy days, mate.
Nice one. Well, cheers, Danny. Thanks very much. Thanks to Season Master for sponsoring this season's podcast. Gary Fletcher and the lads standing order shot with all your windows and bifold
doors. You're on the shots.
But that's it, really. Yeah, thanks very much. We'll see you next week for a podcast. Might be on the Sunday debrief this Sunday. I'm not sure if I can be asked to do one, really. But we'll see how we get on. And then next week, we'll definitely have a podcast and then no debrief after Bradford, as I am in Dublin, biggest city in Europe.
Dubbers.
As it keeps doubling and doubling and doubling. Good night. Come on, you dons.
That was rubbish.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.